Of God. I love it as much today as I did how many years it would have been now, 60 years ago when I first got saved and first came into the church. There was a thrill in my heart then, even though I didn't really know. I knew I belonged to God because I knew he loved me, but I didn't know how I was going to fit into these people that I thought that were far beyond me. But they were very caring and over the years journeyed with me and helped me grow into all that God had for me. And that's why I'm standing here today. And there was a chorus we used to sing, I love this family of God, so closely knitted into one. They've taken me into their heart and I'm so glad to be a part of this great family. And I sing that all the time because it's such a precious thing, but it's not just words. They're meaningful things that we are part of a family. And you know, families are interesting things. We all belong to families. And each one of us was born to a mother and had a father, and many's had siblings, some didn't have siblings. But we all belong to a family. And families are interesting. You know, when we're young, we play together and thankfully things go along. But as we grow up, we can become distant and estranged and all sorts of things. And I often think about Christmas gatherings. We always have Christmas at home and all of our family come, and we've always said that we want our children and our grandchildren and now our little great-grandson to come because they want to come, not because they think mum and dad expect them to come or want them to come. And that's how family should be. But unfortunately, it's not always like that. Sometimes families get together and there's tensions and there's distractions. And that's very sad. But you know, the wonderful thing is when we come into this family of God, there is none of that and there should not be any of that. And so if there is, I want you to get rid of it because it shouldn't be. Because the Word of God tells us very clearly that now you are the body of Christ and each one of you are a part of it. A live and a healthy human body has a head, and every part of the body has a purpose and performs different tasks. We know that. Our arm moves differently to our leg and our head, and each part has different parts. And it's not only the external parts of our body, it's the internal parts of our body. And you know, sometimes I think that in the functions of life, we can sometimes think about the external parts of our body, and that's easy to comprehend. But you see, there's an internal working part that's more important than the external, because if the internal parts are not working, if your liver is not functioning properly and your kidneys and your heart and especially your brain, then the external is not going to function. And so that shows me a picture of we often do things out of habit or out of need to do it, but we have to understand that we need the Spirit of God in the internal. And when the Spirit of God is in the internal part of us is functioning well and healthy, so the external will act correctly. We've been going through a study in our Women to Woman about Rebecca and Leah and Jacob, and seeing how the dysfunctions of that family, but how God wove and worked to bring his perfect will into that situation and into Jacob. And to see how God has his way, and when everything works beautifully together according to his will, God brought forth the nations and we're here today. And so every part of this body has a task when it submits to the head. You cannot have a functioning body without a head, because we know our brain has to do that. Now, it's Jesus Christ is our head, and as we see him as our head, we will function correctly. Amen. Paul uses this comparison to explain what the church in Ephesians 5, 23 and 24 should look like, and it's the same for us today. Jesus Christ is the head and the part of the body to which the rest of the body submits. We who are Christians, church members, believers, are compared to this body. And so it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, if you want to look it up, 1 Corinthians 12, 27, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you are a part of it. And you know, there is nothing like the local church when it's working right. To me, it is just wonderful to belong to this family of Grow Church. Its beauty, it's beautiful and it's indescribable. Its power is breathtaking and its potential is unlimited. Your potential is unlimited. Not only on your own, but more so when we work together. It comforts the grieving, heals the broken. It builds bridges and seeks those who are lost and who are broken. It offers truth to those who are confused. The potential of this church is almost more than I can grasp. The potential of the church is something that has always amazed me and thrilled me to be a part of it. I remember when we opened a Diggers Rest last month and Heather Weeder got up and gave a testimony, and it was like she was speaking out of my heart, because one of the things she said is when she, doesn't matter what goes on, when she comes into this place, not into this building, into this home, she feels at home and it's like everything's washed away. And that's how it should be. And it's not the building, it's knowing we're here with God, but it's we're here with one another. We're here with God's people. Each one of you are a beautiful flower, if you might say, in God's garden. Amen. No other organisation on earth is like the church, and nothing can ever come close. So brothers and sisters, it's all about God and each other. We cannot really enjoy life unless we enjoy it together. Now, we may not see one another for times, but the important thing is we're bound together by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 2:19-22 indicates this. There's someone there coming in the door and they're not sure whether they're in the right place. Ephesians 2:19-22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Do you really comprehend that? When you read the Word of God, do you put yourself in there? That you are part of that building? That you are being fitted together as part of a body? When you think about the body, and I'm all into that, if you just look at the structure of the body and just see how awesome it is and how it functions, you know, we don't even have to think consciously about things we're going to do, about movements we're going to do. And it's really exciting when we see a little baby that takes its first, says its first bub bub or dad dad blub blub, and it's all spittle and blubby dubby dubby, but it eventually forms into a word, and parents just wait expectantly, waiting for those words, and of course they want to hear mum and dad, and then to be able to hear them say, I love you, and things like that. And then they take their little teetering steps and they start to walk. And we get concerned when they don't do those things, but it's beautiful to see how this body functions. Well, you see, we're the same. It's when we first become Christians, we come in and we tilter and we falter and we're shy to pray, but eventually God's there and he's encouraging us by his Spirit, and other Christians around us are encouraging us. I remember when I was first saved and I'd go along to the prayer meeting and I'd be too afraid to pray, and I remember the first time I prayed I thought I was going to faint. My head just felt like it was going to puff open. I was just so nervous, because we get caught up in thinking that people are going to listen to us and judge us, because that's what had happened to me all my life. But eventually I started to feel comfortable and realise these people were part of me, because they were part of Jesus. And so they were there to encourage me and nurture me. And so eventually my prayers became better and more direct to God, and I became less conscious of myself and more conscious of him. And just like a parent is waiting for that child to do those things, God is longing to hear you. And so if you've been a Christian a long time and you're still struggling with that, don't, because just think about you as a parent with your child and think how your Father God is longing to hear. And he hears the expression of your heart, but he wants you to have the confidence to spill it out and to praise him and glorify him and to speak to him. Because if you don't know how to pray, you will never speak to other people. We've got to break it through in the realms of the closet of prayer. We've got to break it through in the power of the Spirit. And then we'll have that zeal and that confidence to go out there and speak to broken men and women. And you see, we don't only speak to people. We need to pray for people. We need to lay hands on people and pray for them. When they have such a need, we meet people that are so broken, that don't know this family of God. They don't know what it means to belong into this intimacy with God. We have a great deal to rejoice about being in this great spiritual family. And it's my prayer that that's your heart, that when you come in, you don't think, oh, I've got here. I've finally got here. Rather, oh, praise God, I'm here. It's better to one day in the courts of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. It's great to be in his presence. Can anything be negative in our lives with us being members of such a wonderful family? Because being part of this family, God has given us the answer to all of our needs. It's wonderful. It's awesome. Being here with God our Father, Jesus Christ our Saviour, and with one another, our spiritual brothers and sisters, it is a wonderful experience. Being part of the family of God is the greatest blessing bestowed upon each one of us, and it should bring us to our knees in gratitude. I thank God for each one of you. I thank God that he lays you on my heart, and I pray for you. I thank God that we are many and varied. We're from all different cultures and different walks in life. And I often look at the ladies, at woman to woman, and I say to them, what a mixed bunch we are. And you know, in the everyday circumstances of life, we probably wouldn't cross one another's paths. But the beautiful thing is that God has chosen to bring us together. It's by choice that you are here from Greece and Africa and Russia and wherever you come from. All of the different countries of the world that God has brought us into this place, and it's not by accident that we're here. We are here because God called us here. We can never do anything to deserve it, for it's his gift of love and mercy and grace. What a grace that brought my Saviour down, that he'd leave his heavenly throne and crown to come down and save a sinner such as me, to put me into this place, to allow me to speak. Do you know the power of the Word of God? Do you know the beauty of the Word of God? And God would allow that beauty to come out of my mouth. God would allow that power and that authority to come out of my life, my mouth, to be able to reach broken people and bring them into the same grace that he's brought me into. We are no longer servants, but we are sons and daughters of the living God. Please grasp that concept. Servants do not inherit, sons and daughters inherit. And there is such power in inheritance, in the inheritance that God has given us. We need to respond. We need to respond, because if we don't respond, if we don't grasp it, if we don't really know in our hearts what it means, how can we bring enthusiasm to bring it into someone else's? To say, oh yes, well, I'm a Christian and Jesus saved me so many years ago and I belong to Grow Church. Yeah, it's okay. Some of the people there are not bad. So I get on with some but not others. Is that a great testimony? No, of course not. It's that I belong to God. I belong to this family. Come along. We're a people of love. We're a people of grace. We're a people of caring and sharing. That's what we want to be telling people. You know, our lives, our purpose is like a jigsaw puzzle. If one piece is missing, doesn't it stand out? And I was thinking the other day and saying to the ladies, we've got Tina over here who does a lot of knitting and things, and I've been a knitter myself, and I know that when Tina's doing all of her things, someone might look and think, gee, that's lovely, and Tina will notice if she's dropped a stitch. And she'll have to go back and pick up that stitch because it's just not quite right. If that stitch is out, it stands out to the person. And so when we are part of this family and we love one another, when one is missing, we miss them. And I don't like change. I know when Eula was away and Antoinette's been away and now Barbara's away, I miss them. I notice that they're not here because I look for them. I look to come in and have fellowship with them. I pray for them while they're away. but they're on holidays. But when someone is missing because they're in a bad way, that's terrible. It breaks my heart. And so we need to reach out for them. It's absolutely biblical that every member of this family is a part of this family. And being a part of this family means that God has given us something to do. Every one of us has something to do. You know, even a couple of years ago, we went through all the parts of the body. And it's quite incredible, even the hairs in your nose. God has put them there for a reason. It's to catch bacteria and things like that. We should never despise things of our body because God has made them for a reason. And so every one of you have a part to play. God has created you and gifted you. The sad thing is that many people don't know what those things are. If you don't know, come and ask us. We'll pray with you so that you find it. You find out what it is. In the Bible, in the New Testament, there are 58 references to the idea of everyone working shoulder to shoulder. That's how important it was to God to call us to be part of this body, but to be functioning parts of the body. You know, you don't want parts of your body that don't work. We want them to be functioning. And we will keep pushing in. I really admire Carmen. She's had all of this health thing and operation, but she's still pushing in to keep these legs moving and to keep herself functioning, because we want to function. And that's what we're here to be here, to encourage you so that you function in the task that God has created you to do. Working shoulder to shoulder, so that we love in action and we share our heart with one another by service. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we are partners working together for God. We are in a partnership. God has placed us in this family to be partners. The good news here is that God has put the necessary people into place to do the necessary things. We have the talents that we need right here to accomplish everything. We just have to use it. It says in Ephesians 4:16 again, from the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And as I said, physically, each part does its work. And so functionally, in serving, each part must do its work. Spiritually, each part must do its work. You, each one of you, have things that I don't have. We all have something that the other doesn't have. And that's where it's wonderful when we get together in discussion groups such as Grow Groups and Woman to Woman, because one might lead the study and bring the word, but then it's as others all partake. From the youngest, they bring, as I said, Holly and Catherine go along to Grow Groups and they participate and they have things to say. They may even ask a vital question that someone hadn't thought about. I know I've seen my own grandchildren, and many of you will remember seeing the Brendan and the Rachel and the Hayden and Brett and Joel growing up and being a part of that, those things, and Joshua and Matthew and Caleb asking questions, stirring us up to make us think. We're never too young and we're never too old. We all need one another to be part of this family and to be functioning. And so it's wonderful when we get into those intimate groups, because we learn more about one another, and also we stir one another. We stir one another. You know, that's in the Word of God, that we are here to stir one another. I want you to stir me and I want to stir you in love and for good things, so that you will learn and you will profit for that. That you will learn and you will be encouraged by the Word of God and the things of God. It's very, very important. I believe that practically, and I believe it spiritually, because it's in the Word of God. There's a divine element of guidance for all of us here. So many of you have skills. You have abilities and backgrounds that this body needs. Ephesians 4:16 tells us, Ephesians 4:16, the whole body is fitted together perfectly, and as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You know, that was one of the things that I think you wouldn't remember, but stirred my heart when it was put to me about a credential, and I struggled with that for many years. It had been brought up to me, it was something like 10 years. And no. And then God really did business with me and showed me that I was only a little part, but I was a little part to bring into the bigger part. And God gave me a vivid vision, actually, of this machine that was working, but it just made this little funny sound. And then I saw these hands come down and find this little screw. And one of the hands picked the screw up and put it in, and the sound went. The machine moved better together, because there were giftings that God had placed in me that needed to fit in to the whole. And so sometimes we struggle with things, but we have to see it's not about me, it's about what God's called us to do. And by staying away, or by you not using what God has given you, you are denying the other part to function properly. A little story that I read in a Reader's Digest some time ago, this man says that while walking through the jungle, a hunter found a dead, ferocious-looking rhinoceros. And by its side was this small pygmy standing very proudly beside it. Amazed, the hunter asked, "Did you kill that rhino?" "Why," said the pygmy, "of course I did. How could a little fellow like you kill a beast like that? It's huge." "I killed it with my club," exclaimed the pygmy proudly. The astonished hunter looked at him and said, "Goodness me, it must be a huge club. How did you lift it?" "Oh," the pygmy explained, "there are about 90 of us. So you see, there's power in the family." So the club were his other pygmies. Not a club, we think laterally, and we think he had to pick up this great big club. But you see, on his own he could do nothing, but together he could achieve mighty things. And so he called all his little mates, and together, I mean, you've only got to think about it, a little ant. What's a little ant? And I remember many, many, many years ago, someone took me out into the country, somebody, where I hadn't been before, and we were rabbit trapping. He was, and with the ferrets, it was ferreting, sorry, and I was told to stand near this hole, and so I sat down, and of course I must have moved my legs, and the next minute, ants came out everywhere. They were all over my legs and running up my body. Little ants you can just brush off, but I nearly went hysterical. But you know, there are ants that can kill you. That if you get many of these certain types of red ants, they can bite, and they can get into your mouth and up your nose. And of course, panic is the worst thing. Panic is the worst thing. But little things, if they come in number, can be big things. And so we see the evidence of that, that there is power as we work together. As we pray together, as we stand together, as we agree. Do you know the power of agreement? That we agree together in Jesus' name. There is nothing but nothing that can stand against that. Nothing. You just have to believe it. And not say yes here. Believe it in here. Believe it, stand on it, and work it and use it. It doesn't matter what it is. We have a great support group here. And we need to get together as a group to accomplish what we need to do. Go to grow groups. Come to woman. Ladies, I don't know why you don't come. We have a wonderful time getting around, sharing the word of God. And as I said, the littlies love it. Anna often comes along with her little ones, her little girls, and they enjoy it too. We have a great comforting father, a father who knows. We had some beautiful choruses sung here this morning, that he is enough for us, that he knows everything. And this amazing grace. 2 Corinthians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." God is a comfort. If you're lonely, if you're in pain, if you're going through difficulty, draw upon this God who brings you comfort. But also, you see, God becomes flesh in us, and we become that comfort to one another. such a comfort. So many of you have been to me over years, and many other people that have gone before. We bring comfort one to the other. God's family is a place where people should come in and feel comfort and feel peace and know that they're not in an uncomfortable place, but in a place where they can find comfort, where they can find encouragement, and they can find rest. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all." So we need to warn sometimes, and we need to correct, but always in love. But we do it with patience and with understanding and seeing where people are. As the family of God, let us be steadfast as the apostles were. They had a lot harder things to work with than we do in many ways. But we still face our own difficulties we see with our governments, and we need to be praying, and not just praying on our own, even ringing one another up and standing together in prayer. And as I said, if you go to your groups to pray for these things so they're blocked in Parliament. We need to be praying as a family, and remember, there are Christian parliamentarians and they're part of our family. The family of God is not just Grow Church. I thank God that I'm part of this part of Grow Church. But our family is worldwide. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, we're hearing of great things that are happening in other places. We know our pastor and the team are now in Tagum. We see the wonderful thing. Pray for Diggers Rest if you don't come. Many can't come and enter into certain things, but we can all pray. Pray for us as we go to Diggers Rest. Pray for those homes. Quite often John and I just drive around through those houses and pray, because the walking gear is not as good as it used to be. And so we'll drive around and we'll pray for those. Their houses are just coming up so quickly. New people moving into that area, the same in Sunbury. And those people need to be touched by the love of God. They need to understand there's a Saviour that died for them, and who's going to tell them if we don't? And as I said, there are wonderful saints and brothers and sisters that have gone on. On Thursday, we had the privilege of sharing around the celebration of Manny Saliba's, Emmanuel Saliba's life, as we came together to farewell his earthly remains and to give thanks for him and his life and to stand with the family as they farewelled him. It was a beautiful service. And what a man of testimony and power he was, while right up until his last breath. He was sharing and praising about God. What an example to each one of us. He did his part. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so we need to think about that. And what a joy it is to have this building. John and I were saying how thankful we are that God blessed us with this building. And every time we go into that multi-purpose room, nearly every time, I remember when we used to go through there and whittle through all sorts of rubbish and stuff to get out to the emergency relief, and then it was all yard, and now suddenly we have this wonderful building that serves our purposes, and now God is blessing us out here. And I just want to honour and bless the men that work out there, my husband, my son. I just want to honour Andrew and Shannon and Raj, and Lewis has been at times, and Vincent has been up there. All of those, and anybody else I've forgotten, John will remind me. And now Sinead being up there. It's just been wonderful. There are other things to do, men, so get on board. As they're doing the fitting and doing the inside, there's lots of things that can be done. Painting, I remember when we started to renovate this building, and Karen and Carmony and Sarah came and got out the paintbrushes and did some painting. There's always something can be done. But it's such a joy to see that building starting to grow. God has blessed us with that. And it's all about outreach. It's all about there for our children, for our youth, so that they're going to be able to use that facility. We need to love as Jesus has loved us. And oh, how rich has he loved us. How could we ever complain or ask for another thing with such a love? Not outside, inside. This love that will never let me go. This love that will hold me for an eternity. This love that when there is a deep hurt or a deep pain, and those of our physical body, our husbands, even our children can come around and comfort us, but there is a spot that they can't touch. But I get away with God, and I know that he touches because he sees the depth of it. Sometimes we don't have words for one another, but we can always pray and seek out God who knows, and he will touch that deeper part. Oh, what a joy to be part of this family of God. When we are followers of God, we will walk in love with one another and a love for the world. You know, even in the bank on Friday, I went in and there was this dear girl that served me. And she said something to me, something nice. And I realised she saw something about me. And I touched her hand and I blessed her. And her eyes warmed up with tears. I knew I'd resonated something within her. Just blessed her. And you see, when we say, bless you, it's not just a word. We are imparting something. Be conscious of that. Be conscious of your words. Because when you're conscious of your words of the Spirit, conscious of your words in Christ, there won't be any room for these other silly, nasty words. They won't matter because we're so full of him. We're full of his power. We have the example of Jesus who loved us and he gave himself. And he wants you to give yourself for him and to one another. He has brought us into his family and therefore we have a responsibility towards one another. Psalm 133:1 says, how good it is, how good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in unity. Is it not beautiful? Do you feel that unity? Do you feel that love today? It is my prayer that you do. Love bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And in 1 John 4:7-11, 1 John 4:7-11, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that is born of God and knows God will love. And it's not this love, it's this unconditional love, this accepting love, this love that knows no end, this love that bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things, this love that will break the binds of any chain, this love that if we continue to pour it on, I love that chorus that says, pour it out now, pour it out now. As God pours his love into us and we pour it out, there is nothing that can stand against it. I've seen the hardest hearts crumble and break with this love that is genuinely given. So it's my prayer that you will really, I'm sure you do, but even more so, love this family of God. Know that when you look into the eyes of one another, you are seeing a resemblance of him. When we look at each other, that's what we see. We see him, we see his love reaching out to touch us, to care for us, to behold us, to grow us, and to nurture us. Father God, we just praise you. We thank you that you are an awesome God, that you're an all-sufficient God, that you are a God of grace, that you are a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. You are a God who is always there with us. You are a God who never fails. You're a God who penetrates the deepest heart, who heals the deepest wound, who understands the anguish of every cry. And we praise you and thank you for your grace, this grace that we cannot fully fathom, but this grace that we receive gratefully. We are grateful, Almighty God, for your grace and your love. May we be the bearers of that love and grace. May we pour it out, Lord, pour it out, love. For freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. So we bless you, Lord, and I thank you for this time today that you have privileged me to speak your word. I just pray that your Spirit ministers it to every heart in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.